Davis. Welcome to It's Your Health. How many of you have heard about the benefits of a raw foods and vegan diet but didn't know what to do and how to start? Today you will learn all you need to know to begin your raw foods and vegan journey from Mark Reinfeld, co-author of The 30-Minute Vegan, The Complete Idiot's Guide to Eating Raw and Vegan Fusion World Cuisine. Mark has been preparing inspiring gourmet vegan and live food cuisines for over 15 years. He is a founding chef of the Blossoming Lotus Restaurant, winner of Honolulu's Advertiser's Elima Award for Best Kauai Restaurant. His first book, Vegan Fusion World Cuisine, has won 9 international awards, including Cookbook of the Year, Best New Cookbook, and a Gourmand Award for Best Vegetarian Cookbook in the USA. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hey, Lisa. Good morning.
How are you?
Good, good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm really glad to have you here. Now, I've been curious about a raw food diet for years, but I was overwhelmed at how to begin. And your book, if we can just start talking about The Complete Idiot's Guide to Raw Foods, honestly, sure. It's like the key that unlocks the door to raw food living. I mean, I'm like, what do I do with this dehydrator? How do I use my Vitamix, you know, the right way? And if you can tell us, what are raw foods?
Basically, raw foods are uncooked foods in the most simple form. So they're fruits, vegetables, also includes sprouted seeds and nuts, and certain grains you can sprout as well.
Okay. And when did you first get interested in eating raw foods?
It was about 1989 or so. A friend took a workshop with Gabriel Cousins, who wrote the foreword to the Idiot's Guide to Eating Raw. He's one of the pioneers in the raw food movement, and since then it's always been part of my diet.
Okay, now what are living foods, and are they different from raw foods?
It's a subtle distinction. Usually live foods have enzyme activity. Raw foods are foods in their natural state, and live foods are raw foods that have an added oomph to them.
Now, I've read a lot that enzymes are important. Can you tell us about that?
Basically, enzymes are involved in pretty much all of the activities of the body, and so raw foods, and they're sensitive to heat, so around 115 degrees, you start to impair the enzyme activity, and that's a threshold point for people who eat raw foods as they try to consume foods under that temperature.
Okay, so one of the benefits then obviously is the enzymes. What are some other benefits to eating raw?
You could look at it as basically if it's not broken, don't fix it.
Uh-huh.
So just the foods in their whole natural state contain all the vitamins and nutrients that we need in their whole form.
Mm-hmm.
So cooking impairs and destroys a lot of the nutrients.
Now, I've heard that some fruits and vegetables, or primarily vegetables like carrots, actually more of the nutrients are released when they're cooked. Is this a myth, or what do you think about that?
It is true that certain, like the lycopene in tomatoes is enhanced by cooking overall, though there is a greater loss of vitamins and nutrients in general by cooking.
And is it healthy to raise a young child on a raw food diet?
There are definitely people that raise children on raw foods diets. If you look online and do a search for raw family or raising children with raw foods, you'll see a lot of resources, and it's definitely... children are raised vibrant and healthy on raw foods diets.
Yeah, you know, my daughter she just turned 5, and she's very health conscious, and she eats so much fruit. She's practically a fruitarian.
That's great. And
that's somebody who just eats fruit, right? But she also eats, you know, I do cook, you know, brown rice and beans and millet and quinoa. But for a 5-year-old, it's pretty good. You know, there's nothing processed, you know, but sometimes I think, God, she's on her way to becoming a fruitarian. And I would like to start, you know, using the dehydrator more and getting more raw foods. Now, this is a big question for me, being that I love dark chocolate. And I recently did a show on the health benefits of chocolate with registered dietitian Monica Bearden, who wrote Chocolate, A Healthy Passion. And Can you have chocolate on a raw food diet?
Yeah, actually, raw chocolate is considered a superfood, which is a high-nutrient food. And there's lots of recipes that you can make with raw chocolate. A lot of people, when they have chocolate, it's with dairy and a lot of sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And when you take those two ingredients out of the chocolate experience, it's considered very healthful, and you get natural energy boosts, and it's great. You could use raw chocolate in smoothies and a lot of delicious desserts.
Now, is that going to be very bitter, or can you sweeten it with, do you use agave at all? Or
we do use a little agave, and also you could, like in a smoothie, it's great because you have whole fresh fruit, and
oh, yeah.
So it's sweetened naturally with fruit, which is really the ideal sweetener.
Now, where do you get raw chocolate?
Most health food stores these days carry it, and also online, there's, if you do a search for raw chocolate online, you'll see a lot of raw super food stores sell it in bulk.
Now, what does it look like? As you can tell, I'm obsessed with chocolate. I will get on to another subject, I promise. But
sure,
I'm just
sure.
Curious, what does it look like? I mean, is it powdered or chunky or?
Well, it comes in different forms. There's you could actually get a raw bean, a cacao bean. A very popular form is called nibs, which is, it's a broken up, the bean that's broken up and to little tiny pieces. And also you could get it in powdered form. I like the nibs. They're, especially in a smoothie, it adds like a little crunch to the smoothie experience, and you still get the chocolate flavor.
Oh, okay. Because I've seen nibs at health food stores, but I always assume that was somehow cooked or processed or something. I wasn't sure. So that's okay. That's good to know. Well, moving
on. Nibs are great, yeah. And they're also good in trail mixes. You could add nibs just to your regular trail mix, whatever mm-hmm. ingredients you like in your trail mix.
Now, speaking of trail mix, if somebody was allergic to nuts, would they have a hard time with the raw foods diet?
It would make it more challenging, but it's definitely doable. You'd need to be a little creative, but it's definitely possible.
Now, is this where someone should learn how to sprout and soak beans and can you actually, you can do rice too, brown rice, and instead of cooking it, you can sprout it. Is that true?
I'm not a big fan of, I don't know if any about sprouting the brown rice. Some people use wild rice.
Oh, okay.
And other grains like lentils are good to sprout, and you can even sprout garbanzo beans.
Now, is that difficult?
Because
that's the one thing I think when I've talked to people is that it seems like it's, you know, my sister was visiting and she's a vegetarian. She's not a vegan, but she's a vegetarian. And she talked about, yeah, but it just seems really hard. And I said, well, you got to get this book because, it's really broken down. And I think I actually ordered this sprouter and mm-hmm. I haven't used it yet, I'm being honest, but I have every intention. But this is, you know, it does seem a little daunting. So
well,
how do you...
It's interesting. Our perspective is just given the diet that most people eat, we hold the philosophy of just every little bit helps. So
Okay. You
mentioned about getting started on a raw food diet, just simply about including more fruit as a snack, looking to take little steps. So
okay.
It's not like a daunting process or having a big, exciting salad for a meal and really get comfortable with just introducing raw foods in simple ways. And then so don't feel like you need to master all of the sprouting techniques and dehydrating techniques right away or
okay.
go out and buy a lot of expensive equipment. As far as sprouting, you could really do it with just a jar and like a little screen on top of it. And it's actually quite simple, the process, and the raw book goes into that
mm-hmm.
In depth on how to go about it. But we really encourage people not to be intimidated by the process when looking at some of the more advanced techniques.
Okay. Now, you talk about, now in your book, it is in The Complete Idiot's Guide to Raw Foods. It is broken down into five parts, and you have raw foods illuminated, raw techniques, recipes on the light side, hearty, fair, and raw transitions. Now, if you can tell us, for somebody who does have a little more experience, they would probably want, like I ordered the food dehydrator, and I have a Vitamix, and I've been using the Vitamix for years, and I use it every day.
Yeah.
And that is amazing. If you can tell us about your experiences using both the Vitamix and a dehydrator. And what kind of dehydrator would you recommend?
We use the Excalibur dehydrator. It has 9 trays, and you can adjust the temperature. And basically, using a dehydrator opens up a new level of culinary creations. You could create granolas and crackers and pizza crusts, and you could dehydrate your own fresh fruit. So it's And it's, the process is actually very simple. It's just learning about what it does, and once you get started on some little basic techniques, then you're really off on your own. It's just a low-temperature drying, which keeps the food under that temperature that the raw food community looks at of the 115, 118, and it removes the moisture from the food, and it allows you to create foods that you can travel with and can store for a little bit longer periods of time.
You know, I've heard the dehydrated kale actually is really good.
Yeah, that's a big hit in our house. It's, we call it crispy kale. It becomes like a crunchy snack, and it's one of the best ways to introduce kids to kale is it's, they eat it like popcorn, pretty much.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's on my list of things to do, because as healthy as my daughter eats, it is hard to get the greens into her.
Yeah.
So that is important. But yeah, I know I have it. I got the Excalibur. I got the 5-tray one. I figured, you know, before I get up to the 9-tray. Now, the thing with that is it does take, it's not long in the preparation part, but it does take, sometimes up to 48 hours or so for the food to be ready. But that's, you just put it in and go on your way, and you can just leave it there, right? And then you come back and...
Yep, it's really a shift in just looking at how you prepare food, and it does require very little time of actual preparation. You just need to plan ahead a little bit.
Okay. And the nice thing about The Complete Idiot's Guide to Raw Foods is you have a whole chart, a whole table that has all the different times.
Yeah,
what to do.
Our goal with that book was basically to make raw foods accessible to everyone who's interested, including just even a little bit more raw foods in their diet. So you could know nothing about raw foods when you pick up the book, and by the end you could have a pretty intelligent conversation with even the most refined raw food connoisseur.
It is a wonderful book, and I highly recommend it. Now let's move on to talk about another one of your books, Vegan Fusion World Cuisine, and that's award-winning recipes from the Lotus Blossom restaurants. Now, how much time do you spend in Kauai? I'm very jealous. I used to live on Oahu.
I've been there for over 7 years, and up until recently, I'm there usually 10 months out of the year, 10 or 11 months out of the year. We did take a trip this year for a few months. We'll be heading back in August.
Oh, that's nice. Now, with this book, I really like the foreword, and it was written by Dr. Jane Goodall. And in it, she writes, "We are facing massive loss of wilderness, desertification, widespread pollution, global warming, extinction of species, violence, war, and a whole host of social injustices." And she also goes on to say that many people do not appreciate the far-reaching consequences of what we choose to eat. And can you tell us more about this, and was that a large factor in your choosing to eat raw and vegan foods?
It wasn't my initial factor, but it became one when I learned about it. And most people now are becoming more aware of going green or preserving the environment or reducing their carbon footprint. And what many people don't realize is that our choice in food is probably one of the most major impacts we can have. And choosing to include plant-based foods, it has the least environmental impact of any diet choice we can make. So all of those things that Dr. Goodall mentioned are part of a result of how we've been raising animals for agriculture. Mm-hmm. And like a UN report recently came out that said 18% of all the greenhouse gases come from the livestock industry, and that's actually more than the transportation industry. So for those who are concerned about the environment, things like Meatless Mondays or just including more vegetarian meals is a major step in helping to reduce our impact on the environment.
Yeah, and I mean, doesn't it take just a massive amount of grains to feed the livestock as well?
Yeah, it's huge.
And water,
it's like,
huge amounts of water.
Tremendous amounts of water and land use and grains and a lot of chemical fertilizers and pesticides go into raising livestock. And it's really staggering when you look at, if you have an acre of land, what can we do with that? How do we feed ourselves, basically, in a way that is good for us and is good for the planet? And if you just delve a little bit into it, it's really staggering to see the difference of how much more food you can grow if you grew potatoes on the land as compared to raising the cattle.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I'm one of those people where I don't eat red meat very often, but when I do, I always make sure it's organic or grass-fed or free-range. But it's still, you know, doing the damaging things. It's just, so it's, I mean, I admit it myself. I feel like a hypocrite. So I'm like, well, at least the animals treated better, or, well, they're still being, you know.
Well, again, yeah. Like, we have an interest. My perspective is just, if you have one meal a week that's vegetarian, that's tremendous. And
it's
really to proceed at your own pace and not to be judging yourself or hard on yourself. It's like, if you're, every little bit you do is helping. And if everyone just had just one meal a week vegetarian, it would make a huge difference.
No, it's so good that you're saying that, because I think that, you know, I used to live in Santa Cruz, California, and there's a lot of very health conscious people there. But some of them would go to the extreme where they would kind of berate you with it. And then they'd make you, and then they would, I mean, no one can really make you feel bad, as my dad would say, but they, you know, you would feel bad. And they, you know, they acted like you had to go all the way or you're just a horrible person. And then I think that ends up turning people off. So it's really refreshing to hear from somebody with your vast knowledge and experience saying, hey, look, you know, do what you can. Go slowly, you know, not, and by the way, I absolutely love Santa Cruz. I wasn't bashing it, but I'm just being honest. You know, sometimes
too,
it could be a little intense.
Well, I think it's, there's a lot going on in the world these days, and just having a positive, joyful attitude towards life, I think, is very important, and not to be militant about it. Just look at the facts and see what you can do in your own way to help yourself and the planet. And just really, it's that simple. Like, if you just have just start having a meal, and actually your body feels so much better when you do that, it just leads to you wanting to do it more often.
Mm-hmm. Now, what are some general principles in vegan food preparation for those who want to, you know, get started?
General principles as far as I mean, the basic philosophy is what I mentioned with the raw food, is if it's not broken, don't fix it.
Mm-hmm.
So look at, the ideal is just eating foods in their whole natural state, minimal processed ingredients. Look at, one thing we encourage is for people to look at food labels, and if it has more than like 6 or 7 syllables in the word and you're finding you can't pronounce it, it's probably not that good for you.
Exactly.
And just take little steps. That's really our approach. Little steps towards a more whole foods, wholesome approach.
Mm-hmm.
And using organic and locally grown ingredients whenever possible.
No, I'm glad. Oh, I'm sorry. Go on.
Well, just for the nutrition value, and also, again, for the environmental aspect. If a lot of food, eating an organic orange from Brazil, when you live in Maine in the winter, there's a lot of energy goes into transporting that, and so we encourage eating locally whenever possible as well.
Now, would you encourage eating locally if it wasn't organic, especially something like an orange? Whereas I know, like with a nectarine or different types of berries, the pesticides tend to permeate the, you know, the outside of the fruit.
Yeah, personally, I'm okay with that. There are foods, commercial foods, like you mentioned, the berries and berries especially, like, are, have higher pesticide residues on them. And so it's a kind of a personal choice, the organic, local. I would probably go local if it were a thick skin fruit like a banana or an orange.
Okay. Now, what about, I tend to buy a lot of frozen organic berries. What do you think about that?
I think it's okay. It's, again, it's like if you're having frozen berries instead of a fast food snack or a junk food, I think it's great. And, you know, fresh is always better, but frozen fruits are accepted in the raw food diet as well.
Now, what about if I had, because sometimes I'll go to the store and there'll be, if they don't have any organic fresh berries and they just have commercially produced, or I can get the frozen organic, I feel like that's a better choice because of the pesticides.
Yeah, I would do that. I would do that as well.
Okay. And if they do have the fresh ones, then I'll try to get those. You know, yeah. I absolutely love, I'm like a berry addict. I just
but
love
it,
berries.
It's great to have them on hand. And that's another thing that's good to keep in mind as a convenience factor. And if you have some organic frozen berries in the fridge, it's very easy to whip up a smoothie. And that's great.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's what I use. I mean, my daughter tends to eat like the frozen berries, just to eat them plain, and she eats them in smoothies, but I tend to use them for the smoothies. And then if I get the fresh berries, I'm not putting those in a smoothie. I just want to eat those. Now, to my understanding, there's three types of vegetarian diets. Is that correct?
There's a lacto-ovo vegetarian, which includes dairy and eggs.
Okay.
And then there's lacto-vegetarians, which have dairy. And then vegan diet is basically a vegetarian diet without the dairy and eggs.
Okay. And do you think that without the dairy and eggs, is that usually seen as the healthiest?
In my estimation, it is. Just when you delve into the nutrition aspect and also, again, looking at the environmental aspect, also vegan diets are called plant-based because they're plant-based. And so that has, again, the least environmental impact.
Okay. Now, what do you think about goat's milk if someone was going to eat dairy or drink dairy? I've heard so many times that if you can get, like, go to a farm and get, you know, unpasteurized goat milk, that it's actually a really healthy thing. What do you think about that?
I think it could be healthier than cow's milk. And if it's local and unpasteurized, I think you're taking steps in the right direction. It's all, like, one thing I've learned over the years is there's so many conflicting theories on nutrition that it's really best for the individual to decide for themselves. So if you had a little goat dairy and you felt good and okay with it, then it would be okay for you. And if you had it and you felt like you were having, you know, any kind of reaction, allergic reaction or lethargic or any digestion problems, then it's probably not so good for you.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I pretty much never eat ice cream. But recently I did have, they had this goat milk's ice cream. And I'm sure, it wasn't as pure as getting it from a farm. But if I had eaten regular ice cream, I'd feel terrible. And I felt okay. And I thought, oh, okay, now I'm not going to do this very often.
Right.
But it was nice to know, for a birthday party or a special occasion or something, to say, oh, this goat milk's ice cream was pretty good.
It had
kind of a funny little, my husband was like, I don't know. There was definitely something a little different, but I still liked it. So I just thought that was interesting.
There's amazing soy and rice and coconut-based frozen desserts that totally replicate the ice cream experience. If you haven't tried any, they're really awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I've seen those, and I know they are really good. Now, I wanted to make sure we have time to talk about your latest book, The 30-Minute Vegan, over 175 quick, delicious, and healthy recipes for everyday cooking. And that's a lot of recipes. That's great. And I made the put the text in your Mex chili. It was really good. So it seems that, because I love chili. Now, it seems that this book is, there's cooked and raw. It's kind of bringing it all together.
Yeah, this is like the culmination of everything pretty much. After we did the vegan fusion book and the raw book, we just wanted to open up the gates and really make this easy for people. And so we chose our favorite recipes that can be prepared in 30 minutes or less. And it does contain cooked and raw food recipes. And that's, again, a reflection of our philosophy of just wanting to help people eat in a healthy way. And there's raw food recipes for people that want to go more into raw foods. And there's a lot of just simple vegan recipes for people that just want to have a vegan meal every now and then, or make more of a commitment to start to include more vegan meals.
Now, what's do you eat both now, or are you still mostly raw, or how's your diet?
I do eat both, and it just depends on where I am and how I feel, if I gravitate towards more of the all raw diet or not.
Mm-hmm. Now, how's your family? Do they embrace this as well?
Yeah, well, my family now is, well, my wife and I are pretty much on the same page. She's the co-author, Jennifer Murray. We live on Kauai, and so we definitely have a lot of raw foods, and we typically start our day with a big raw smoothie, and a big salad is included usually, and my family, as far as my parents and siblings, they're doing their own thing with a tinge of our influence in it.
Oh, that's good. Hey, but like you said, any little bit can help. Now, how do you come up with your recipes? I mean, is there a lot of just trial and error, or just this sounds like it'd be really good together?
Yeah, it's like just like a creative art form of just, I love interacting with food and as like an art form to come up with delicious creations. And it's somewhat like the Tibetan sand paintings where you work to create a beautiful meal and experience it in the moment for what it is. And then it's enjoyed, and then you're on to the next creative process.
That is so cool. And, I wanted to mention, too, that in the back of the 30-Minute Vegan, I'd love how you have resource guides and, you know, different links for different sites for vegans, including a free online dating site for meeting single vegans.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
Yeah, there's a full range of resources and links to get products and how you can get started. And we have our websites there, and we put out a free newsletter that includes recipes and information. If people are interested in more information, they could check out veganfusion.com.
Great. And you have a blog as well.
Yeah, we blog pretty regularly, and we're on Facebook and Twitter. And on Twitter, as soon as we get news related to vegan information, we put it out on Twitter. So we're pretty active in posting online.
Oh, good. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on. This was so interesting. And if people would like to reach me, they can go to itsyourhealthradio.org. This show will be up by Friday or Saturday on my website. So if your friends missed it, tell them to tune in. And if you want to hear it again, it's got great information. Today's the first day. We're doing two shows back to back. Coming up next at 10 is a creator of Skinny Girl Margarita, Bethany Frankel, New York Times bestselling author of Naturally Thin and star of Bravo's hit show Real Housewives of New York City. So remember that from now on, there's two shows on Tuesday, 9:30 to 10 and 10 and 10:30, except for the first Tuesday of every month. Please keep listening and have a great week. Keep being healthy. Bye-bye. Thank you.